So now in Cheskes Habatim, Vabatim to be Mama Yadi Belela Yadi. The Gemara raised the question: how does the very first din in our parak work? Chazaka, and specifically on Batim, as opposed to other types of properties, you need, unlike the other properties, you're going to require Eidus on the Laila as well, but you don't have it. Who, how could anyone be Mayid that someone else was definitely living in a property consistently at night? So Abai had given one answer, Masid Abatim, Shivavi. Your typical Eidim for specifically Cheskes Habatim are going to be the Shechinim. And Shivavi made the Yadi, B'imama Ubalelia, and they know well, as we saw in Ben Yonah and the Rashba, drew from the, not only the content, but the language, and made the Yadi. They know, not that they directly witnessed everything, but as we had a chance to unpack over the last couple of days of Shir, but there's an Eidus Yediyah without a complete Eidus Re'iyah. And we spent time on specific that topic in general, and specifically what appears to be a steer in Rashba's. Rashba here joins with the Rabbeinu Yonah in interpreting that Abaye is essentially telling us Shiva made Yadi means they understand, they intuit, they can put the pieces together, circumstantial evidence, Eidus Yediyah below Eidus Ria, I ben Evan Ezer, Simon Ben Beis, the Rashba is the primary proponent of requiring absolute Eidus Ria, the Ramah, the Beis Yosef, the Ramah, and Simon Ben Beis. Eidi Kedusha Kesef, after Mamish Sina Satavas, we saw that the Rashba was not the only one who said it. We saw that the Tshuva Zemayim, when he quotes the Marami Rutenberg, the first Tshuva in the collection of Tshuva Zemaimonios and Sefer Nashim, Simon Aleph is a reprint of a Tshuva Zemayim Rutenberg. Marami Rutenberg joins the Rashba in saying that against the Uraim, who explicitly disagrees, and against, as we saw, the Uraim's Chaveirim and Rabeim, Rabbi Otam, and the others who all deal with that, the case in the Mardechai, Tafkuf Lamed Aleph, they seem to imply, and the Reim says Beferish, Eidus Yediyah is acceptable. We saw the but the Rashba and the Marmorberg say Eidus Yediyah is not acceptable. So we had a long discussion that capped off yesterday, again with seeing that the Marmorberg gives two solutions. He's talking about a more specific point, but Lechora he's giving a more general point as well. Either the difference is depends how suggestive the Eidus Yediyah is, how strong the circumstantial evidence. Maybe we accept Eidus Yediyah if it's really, really strong, a very, very powerful robe. Or the Marmorberg had said, maybe it's a question of Tzorech. How could it be a question of Tzorech? It's a Din D'Oraisa. So maybe this is one of those cases of Lo Masara HaKasov Ela Chacham. Okay. The Torah was so overtly ambiguous. The Torah made such a point of making it clear that there are rules, categories have to be defined, and Torah is not defining those categories. So maybe, as some Rishonim say, in the context of, as the Ran says, in the context of Shari Nuim and Yom Kippur, as the Chachmei Svard interpret that the Gemara said, in the context of Melachas Chol HaMoed, Lo Masar Kasal HaChachamim, which the Svardi Rishonim understand to mean, it's a real Din D'Oraisa, it's not Rabbanan, but Chazal get to credit that Din D'Oraisa is, however Chazal will define it, that will be the Din D'Oraisa. And just one more point on that, it came up today in Seder, just to lasaber sa'ozen a little bit more, what that can mean, that the binding force of the Din is D'Oraisa, but the parameters are Drabanan. So just to give a mushel, every neder is like that. And if a Jew takes a neder, so a Jew takes a neder that's forbidding him from doing a particular activity, from using a particular item, so that's now an Issa D'Oraisa. But the Hagdara, the defining the category, the scope to which the neder applies, it's not going to be D'Oraisa categories. It's B'nedarim Halacha Chalash Mayadah. Whatever I said, I can make up my own categories, humanly defined. The Torah says, Motzah Sasecha Tishmar Vasisa. The Torah says, B'yachal Devar. The Torah says, I'm Uchiv to keep my word. Whatever my word was. So I'm creating humanly a category, and whatever that category is now is binding level of D'Oraisa. So just to take it a step further, if a rabbi takes a neder, He says he's not going to have bread. But the lashon b'ne'adam, bread does not include cookies, even though, on the halachically speaking, the chal Hashem lechem level of daraisa does include cookies. But b'lashon b'ne'adam, bread does not include cookies. So a rabbi took an eder; he's not going to eat bread, not going to be nena from bread for the next week. So he can't eat. It can't be nena from bread. He can't be nena from cookies. Is that your sir on bread a dindra banon? Because after all, it was made by a rabbi. The rabbi made it. The rabbi took an eder. This is rabbi. Obviously, that's silly. That's absurd. It's a daraisa. But Maisa, the Hagdara was made by a person. The Hagdara, the categories are defined by people, but the binding force is Daraisa. So that's common in the world of Nadarim, and that's why how language works is such an important theme, Maseches Nadarim. That's a lot of the unique dynamic of Maseches Nadarim, is that funny interplay of humanly defined, sometimes randomly defined categories that have binding force in the Torah. So, as a mashal, it's similar, not identical, but pretty similar. Here you have every once in a long while, you'll have a din daraisa where the daraisa category is however the rabbis define it. There is an Isser Malachas Chol Moed Minat Torah, according to Sfarad Rishonim, as defined by the Rabbanim. There is an Isser of Shari Nuim Yom Kippur, according to Sfarad Rishonim, as defined by the Rabbanim. We sometimes allow some degree of Edis Yediyah, Yada, says Mar Runberg, and that's a Din Daraisa, to be defined by the rabbi, however the rabbis lay it out. So Mamela, you have a Din Daraisa, whose Hagdaras, whose categories, whose parameters, are Drabanan style. It's a question of Tzorech, it's a question of what's doable and what's appropriate, not Daraisa style categories, but the binding force of the Din is Daraisa. Okay, so that was the din that we wrapped up yesterday. Now, you might have asked, though, why are we getting so worked out? What was the whole kasha? Stira between a rajba and the tshuva and a rajba and a chidushim? What type of a stira? There's no stira. The rajba in the rajba and the tshuva is given halacha l'maisa, and that's why he was quoted by the Beis Yosef and Ramah. The rajba is the same shot in the Gemara. You say, well, that's where halacha comes from. Not so fast. Which amor was the rajba the same shot in? Abaye. Everybody knows, called Barbe Rav knows, that the Gemara has, we don't always have Kuali Apsak whom we possibly like, but for many pairs of Bali Pluk that we do, one of the most famous ones is Abaye and Rava. What's the rule? You pass a Rav except for Yal Kagam. Six cases with those Rosh Tevis is Yud Ayin Lamed, Kuf Gimel Mem, Yal Kagam. Those who have learned Elu Metzias will remember this. We know the Gemara, in the context of Yerushalayim Das, the Gemara gives this rule of Yal Kagam. So we know that the Yud obviously stands for Yerushalayim Das. What all the other letters stand for, some of them are clear, sometimes some of them are machlokas, we show them, ironically. Machlokas, how we should pass on the machlokas, okay, whatever it is. But Lamaisa, we almost always pass on like Rava, except in six cases. This is not one of those cases. So okay, it's very nice. The Rajba said Psha and Abaye. That's irrelevant to Halacha. It's Abaye. We don't pass like Abaye anyways. So Lamai Nafkamina. Right? So you might have said, well, Mako Arasha Zeh, we were wasting time. We created a stira that didn't exist. It's a stira to the Rashban, Bava Basra, Rashban, Shuba, no stira. The Rashban, Bava Basra, same Shana Abaye. We don't pass like Abaye. And Rashban, Shuba is giving Halacha Lamaisa. No? That's strange. What? Kasha me. And another Kasha, which we already started talking about in appreciating Abaye. So when we talk about Abaye, this was great. We talk about Rava, this becomes very difficult. Which is, Rava, what on earth drives Rava to give such a terrace? So that got us started in appreciating what Ben Yonah is saying about Abaye. Abaye is a Chiddush. He's assuming a DCD. Okay, but still, Rava thinks that the Mishnah only talked about the whole Chesed Abatim is only this one case. What does the Gemara say? It's only Dafka Kun to Asu Betray, Vamri Anana Grinamine. Dafka talk about a case where you have tenants, where the two people are bringing to Beis Din, they say, we're not neighbors, we actually lived on this property for the last 3 years as the Machazik's tenants. No. Vidarin and Beit, Washington, Bimo, we lived there for 3 years straight, day and night. It's a Givaldic. It's already in Okimta. And then Rav Yemer asks Akasha. I'm Rav Yemer, Rav Ashim. Hani Nogin Beit Dusanheim.
You're going to accept such edus? They have a negia. They have a, they have an interest in the case. The ilo amri hachi, if they're not going to defend the case of their landlord, and his, and if he loses in court, and Beis Din says, you're not really the owner, really it belongs to the Markama, so then what's going to happen? Amrin lo hu zilu havelei agra beis alhai. We're going to tell them, you thought you were renting it from the machazik, it really didn't belong to the mach, he fooled you. You really owe your rent to the Marakama. He's the real owner. You just told us, Hadas Baldin, let's unpack this a little bit, Hadas Baldin Kameidin Dami. You freely admitted in court that you've been living in that property. You thought that it belonged to the machazik. It turns out it actually belonged to the Marakama. So it's very nice you've been paying rent. You've been paying rent to someone who didn't have the right to charge you rent. There is someone else who does have the right to charge rent. You haven't paid him yet. Now you have 3 years of rent due. Rav Yemer says, that's a massive negiah. So Rav Yemer says, how could you possibly believe the Socharim? They have so much skin in the game. Depends on what their local rent is. If it's Manhattan rent, that's 36 months of rent. That's a lot of money. So how they have no nemanus? Rav Yemer asks Rashi, and Rashi says, "Yeah, I'm relay dini deshvili dini hacher dini shvili hachi dini. Only low grade dayanim would accept typical tenants. Of course, there are no gembeidus. What's Rava talking about? Rashi says, no, Rava talking about a specific subset of tenants. Mi lo askinan could go into nikiti agravesa va'ami leman leisve." Aren't we talking about the case where the tenants show up, they're nikiti agar besa, they're holding the agar, by the word agar you should recognize from a very famous mission in Pirkei Avos, b'fum tzara agra, haschar lefi hatzar. So agra means schar, both in the sense of schar in olam haba, and in all other senses of schar, to be a socher, to be a renter, a non-agrinan. Agar besa is schar habayis. They're holding the money for the last 3 years of rent. To whom should we give it? So in other words, Rabbi Ashi says, when Rava said you're talking about tenants, not just tenants, deadbeat tenants. They haven't paid in 3 years. They're 3 years past due on their rent. They could have gotten kicked out by now, but they didn't get evicted yet. So now these deadbeat tenants show up, and they say, yeah, we've been living here. We thought we were supposed, yeah, we upset, we forgot to pay. Or they say, Nabuch, we weren't able to pay. Either, a true Nabuch, the fellow lost a job, money was very tight, and we were trying to scrape the money together, finally just put the money together. And now I have 3 years worth of back rent to pay. Or that not we don't feel bad for them, maybe a different situation. They were not the most responsible people would be the kindest way to understand it, or they're not the most honest people. They were trying to see how long they could coast without paying the money that they owe, which is a lav daraisa, oshek, lo sashok. You're not allowed to withhold money that you owe. It's a form of gezel. Okay, so that's what Rav Ashi says. Obviously, talking about the deadbeat tenants who haven't yet paid for the last 3 years. Well. So that's kasha number two is really the whole mission is only talking about mamash or kimta al gabi or kimta. So when we're considering abaye, we start thinking about this a little bit. So, okay, that's interesting. So what would belmaisa? It's a strong kasha. That's pshat the mishnah. And finally, in other words, yeah. Let's not say a third kasha, separate kasha, but although it's true that Abaye has a chiddush too, it's hard to imagine that Rava felt that this was more compelling. Maybe. And Rava was so convinced that ACD is unacceptable that he said, we're going to have no choice but to say Nukimta. Really? Yeah. So what do you say? What do you say? Hands. Yeah. Let's think about these kashas. I think about these kashas. What to say about these kashas?
Yeah,
No, but these kashas. These kashas. Number one, why are we so bothered by the stira in the Rashbas? And number two, how could Rav have thought that this is the pshat? How are you talking? This is, and to make it worse, Rav Ashi says like a davar pashut. Oh, of course. Milo Askin, aren't we obviously talking about this one sub case? Not every ches is about them, only tenants. And not even every tenant, only a case where a tenant didn't pay. So, Ma Pesha Advarm. Ma Pesha Advarm. Who addresses this? Am I the first person to raise this question? What do you say? Jos? Yeah, what does he say?
He says that he's adding the eyes.
Right. Rabbi Yonah, and then now begin to see the significance. Exactly. Rabbi Yonah raises that, makes this point. And the Rashba does as well. Lefi shehikshu, Rabbi Yonah says, the habatin dibimabal laila lo yad, dibimabal laila lo yad. They had asked the Kasha, how do you have an aide who knows about both Yom and Laila? His Kirava Biyamamu Uba Laila. Rava mentioned day and night, meaning Kalomar. Hasokhim Shadar Misham, Hare Yicholim Heim La'id Al Diras Yom Vilaila. They could be made on both. And he gets involved in, do they have to be made on both, or is it only if the Marakama asks them to? And that's the point that the Rashbam right makes. And then, going down to the end of that Dira Maschil, the Hani Trey Peruke, de Prikia, Bayavarava, Lo Pligi Adadi. They're not arguing. Sheher El Sheher Arava, Demituk Mechazkabatim, Nami, below Edishchenim. Rava's just trying to show that there's an additional way to do it. Abaye said the answer is Shechenim, and Rava's trying to demonstrate that there's another way to do it without Shechenim. Rava is not replacing Abaye, Rava is adding to Abaye. Abaye gave one answer, Rava is adding another answer. There will be scenarios, there will be cases. Anpa is Aramaic for panim. There will be a pan, there will be facets, there will be cases. Those who say kegavno should definitely recognize the word anpi, or anpaha, anpaha. It's in Hebrew, the word af, the nun is silent in the word af. But that's why you say, my nose is not afi, it's api, because it's really a silent nun. That becomes a dagash chazak. In Aramaic, the nun is expressed. It's anpa. Ika anpi, there are Yesh panim, not al kol panim, not in all cases, but there are cases. There could be cases. Can mefarish tamuv other gemara is going to go on to work out all the details. What are the sub cases in under? What are the particular circumstances under which we would find the sochrim to be not nogim ve'edus and therefore acceptable? Miu edus shchein vadeh mahani kipruk edabaye al derech shepirashnu. So you're right. So the Rabbi Yonah says explicitly, Rav is not rejecting Abaye. Why is Rabbi Yonah saying this? Presumably, and he doesn't spell it out, but presumably that's probably what he's trying to get at, is it's the second kasha we just asked. Really? Rav thinks that that's pshat in the Mishnah? That's a whole pshat in the Mishnah is only this? And that was more compelling than Abaye? He says, no. He's not saying that's the whole pshat in the Mishnah. Pshat Meshavada includes Shechenim, and there could be other cases also. So number one, that solves the second problem, and it solves the first problem, because Rava doesn't disagree with Abaye. Rava is just saying, in addition to Abaye, this is true too, but Rava agrees. So that we don't have an Amora. What Abaye is saying is the Kuliyama. Now, what does the Rashba add? So number one, the Rashba adds that it's the Rashba. Now, in terms of the first kasha, if it's Rabbeinu Yonah, doesn't tell me how to deal with the Sira and Rashbas. But the Rashba himself says in Dira Masel, V'Rava Amma, Yesh Mefarshim Rava Lo Bo Lachlo Ka Eid Shivavi. He's just adding.
He goes on to say the Arishon who did think it's a machlokas. At the end, he says Arishon nira ikker. I hold like the first lashon. Rava lo b'lashon plukta amara. It doesn't sound like a machlokas. The language doesn't sound like a machlokas. Exactly. And that's why the talk is here in Rashba's. Because the Rashba itself raises the issue even more directly than Rabbi Yonah gave one approach. And Rashba said, I know there are Rishonim who disagree with my Rebbe and Rabbi Yonah, but I agree with Rabbi Yonah. In other words, I agree that Rava and Abaye, that Rava is not disputing Abaye. Rava accepts Abaye, which means this idea that the Rashba said in Abaye is L'chol HaDeis. So he can't say, well, he was just talking B'das Abaye, but Leila Svirle, no, the Rashba himself holds that Rava agrees as well. And then the Rashba also adds to this discussion, not only he tells us that not everyone agrees, number two, he tells us that he holds like a Ben Yonah, which is relevant in terms of how we would deal with this, that it is a stira in Rashba's, and we need to solve it the way with the two terutzim of the Maran Wurttemberg. And he also explains a little more, some guys were bothered by this during Seder, what's Rava trying to accomplish? The reason why it's attractive to say that Rava is arguing is the same reason why it's unattractive. In other words, it's hard to imagine Rava is arguing, you mean you found this double ukimta to be more compelling than Abaye? Okay, so that would make me want to say like Rabbeinu Yonah. On the other hand, if he's not arguing, so what's he accomplishing? Me, you wanted to... Rabbi said a geshmaka case, and you said one time in a million. What? So the Rashba addresses that. Yesh Farshim, Dad Rav Itzrich, Bedabra, Vakav Shein Shechinim. Maybe you're in a place in a wilderness. You don't have neighbors. Or we would say not a wilderness, but I live in Upper Westchester. I live in Rockland County, and the next neighbor is 1,000 feet away. So the neighbors aren't close enough to Margish. Am I leaving? Am I not leaving? Which, by the way, Bismana Zeh could be, as we were talking about the other day, even more common. Our houses are more sturdy. Our houses are more insulated. It could be, even if you're not so far away, it's going to be harder to hear and know for sure. Okay, maybe. V'yesh Mefarshim. Yeah, and then others, other Rishonim add other cases also. What if the neighbor, you have neighbors, but they're Nachrim, they're not Kashal Eidus? Or what if the neighbors moved recently? So the neighbor, I've been living for 3 years, but my neighbors, the neighbors just sold, and new guys came in. They have been here for less than 3 years. The old neighbors, I can't find them. They moved to Florida, they moved to Eretz Yisrael, whatever they went to. They went to Texas. And they're not interested in coming back. So there could be all sorts of practical scenarios in which Shechinim might not work. So Rav is pointing out, you shouldn't think the only case is Shechinim. Shechinim would be the most common case, but there could be others also. And then he goes on to say, there are those who would say that sometimes Shechinim is not good enough. Maybe Rav is saying Shechinim don't necessarily work, but he... The Rashba doesn't like that. The Rashba prefer to say, it's not a no machlokas. He's just, Rav just be mosif al gabe. Rav just be mosif al gabe abai. So that's an important point. Again, that and you look back, kedai, later on, and we'll take questions in a moment, just let's encapsulate what we have here. It's kedai to appreciate. Now that we saw the Rashba, you later on, I've said this many times in the past, and I will continue to say it because it seems to be important, when you chazer inside, it could be you saw this before, or it could be you didn't. It could be you noticed this, I should say, before, or it could be before. So Rabbi Yonah says whatever he says, the Rashi says whatever he says. I may not have fully appreciated what it is Rabbi Yonah is accomplishing by making that point about the high trade pay ruke. I may not have understood like where is he, what even what's he saying, or I might have understood what he's saying, but I might not have appreciated that there are kashas in the sugya that he's solving, namely, Rava seems so dachuk. Oh, once I say this, it's no longer so dachuk. Or I might not have appreciated that the Rashba, that Rabbeinu still didn't tell me l'may nafkamina. I mean, this nafkamina for one rare additional thing I could do if I really wanted to. No, so the Rashba fills that in. There are going to be meaty nafkaminas in this as well.
So it could die if you didn't fully see all those layers in Ben Yonah. When you chazer later on tonight, tomorrow, inside, then you'll appreciate, and then you'll see what you didn't see before. You'll see where you could have noticed. That's how you begin to pick up more and more. Yeah, the number of questions. Kiv.
We keep saying that Rava agrees with Abaye. Does Abaye agree with Rava that time doesn't work?
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't noticed any Rishonim who comment explicitly. I'm not sure. Maybe there are some who do. It's hard to know. Meaning, and we have to think some more. Maybe we get to the Marzutra Gemara and the Long Tosas. We'll keep our eyes open. Why would one disagree with Rava? So, as a pshat, if it was a standalone pshat, it's dochuk to say that this okimta is the pshat in the Mishnah. But as a din, that in case this case should happen, you know, the sochrim are ne'manim. So offhand, it sounds very reasonable. However, as we dig deeper into the questions of Nogea Be'edus, one could have made the argument that even in that case, maybe they're not acceptable. If they're ba'im mikoach, so one of the chaver mentioned during Seder that you could have made the argument that they should be, I think Shmuel, you would have made this point, you could have made the argument that they Nogea Be'edus anyways, forget about the rent money. If their guy loses, they're probably going to have to find a new place to rent. If their guy wins, they're probably going to stay. So does that call Nogea Be'edus? Not money out of their pocket, but it is Tircha. So that's an interesting question to think about in terms of the world of Nogea Be'edus. So offhand, you would assume why shouldn't Abaye agree with Rava? But maybe not. Worth thinking about. Worth keeping our eyes open as we continue into Mar Zutra. Yeah?
If we have this... It could be that there's maybe no stira in the Rosh, or it could be it's even more problematic because we now have wouldn't this be a case where the standard for Edus could be a lot higher, because if you have tenants are living there the whole time, so they should be able to testify the whole time that they've been there the whole time, so therefore there'd be no issue of missing the goof of the.
Oh, you're saying in a case where you had tenants, maybe we would require tenants, and we wouldn't be okay with shulavim. Then we only accept shulavim when there's nothing better. That's very interesting. That's an interesting point. I think about that. If you accept the first time as the Mount of Rubenberg, this is a super strong robe. I don't think the robe is weaker. The robe isn't weaker because they're silver. If you say it has to do with Sora from Sar Kazal Chachamim, interesting question. The question is, were Chazal that granular in their Hagdaris? And they said, well, Edus Chazkus Habatim will accept Ezebia if the owner is there, but if their tenants are not. My intuition would be that they weren't that granular, but I don't have a proof either. It's very, very interesting. Yeah, Raf.
What does the Rambam mean by the Lashon Tzavta? It would seem like at Rava that the order of the verb matters, and the fact that the Gemara says Rava Amar would indicate that it's a machlokas, as opposed to Amar Rava.
Yeah, that's a very, very strong point that Rafi is raising. Let me explain a little more. The Rajvam indicated, the Rebbe Yona indicated, in St. Lefebvre, but Rebbe Yona indicated the Shpar, the motivation for him to say that there's no machlokas is, I think Rebbe Yona indicates it because it's hard to imagine this is the entire case. No, it'd be Moses. But the Rajva, as Rafi points out, said, I don't think they're arguing because the language of Abaye, the language of Rav is not Belashim Plukti. He's not saying in a Machlokas style language. So Rav is pointing out, it does look like Machlokas style. What doesn't look like a Machlokas? Amar Abaye, Rav Amar. That's usually how one responded to the other. The first one is Amar so-and-so, and the second one is so-and-so Amar. If it's not a new start, usually the second one you reverse the word order. Amar Yehuda, Rav Meir Omer, you have it in Mishnah and Gemara. So Rafi is making that point. What made the Rajba think that it's not the Lashon Klupta? That's what Rajba said. What evidence did he have? What would you say? What about Rava's language does not sound from the language? Okay, Machlokas. Yeah, Yaakov?
Kigo, yeah.
Okay, I think they gave the answer. But see, for example, let me, for example. He's not giving, this is a very, very, very specific subcase. Why is that, for example? So it could be that Kigon is saying, I'll give you an additional example, because this is not an example of a larger category. This is very, very specific. But if I think that's probably the pshat. I think that's probably the pshat. Yeah. Yaman.
So if it's true that we say that like everyone holds like Rabbi Yonah and Rashba, that Rav is just a small like subset of Abaye, why didn't the Rif mention both of them? And like, because didn't we say that like the Rif only mentions Lach Masa and like major, the big and more overlying, like we said in the case of the Valley, where you only mentioned the first, you didn't mention the name of the
guard. Essentially, the Rif does mention both, you said?
Yeah.
Let's take a look. Good for you, Binyamin. So let's follow Binyamin's paper trail. Binyamin tells us we have to look in the Rif. Shkach. Tapi Yudal and Beis. Tehan cheska batim, batim yimam yidia, lela yidia. Abaye says, my master batim shiva ve shiva meide yadi. And Rava says, kagon da asu betre, etc., etc. Yeah. You'll notice, by the way, the Nimuka Yosef, not surprisingly, says, as Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba did, and not only in terms of content, but his language is very similar to the Rashba. That is not surprising at all. He was mitalmidei talmidim of the Rashba. And they are right on the side. Rava Amar, lav leflugei adabai asel, ravcha demilsa, to broaden things, to make it easier. Meshkachas onami b'chai gavna, hilcha kabai nami kaimalan, shiv visagi. That last line of Nimuk Yosef, by the way, this is in a halachic context. So he's very sensitive. There's a footnote that we should have there, which is what's in Nimuka Yosef thinking, which Gemara Nimuka Yosef thinking of in his mind as he's saying that? The Gemara that? Hilchus HaKarava Chutz Miyal Kagam. So he says, if Namach, Rava not arguing, and therefore we also pass like Abaye. Obviously, he's assuming that we all know that if it was Machlokas, this is not Yal Kagam, Abaye would have been rejected. If you want to unpack it more, he's wondering, why did the Rif quote both Shitos? The Chokes, Abaye and Rava, what does he have to quote Abaye for? And if he's going to quote both, sometimes the Rif will quote two Shitos and then tell you how we paskin. Sometimes he'll just cut out the Shita we don't paskin like. Rava almost invariably just leaves out the Shita we don't paskin like. The Rif will sometimes quote both Shitos but tell you, Hilchus like this one. And here he just sort of left us hanging. The Nimuka says, what's going on? So the Rif also, apparently, I think the Nimuka has been Merames, the Rif also holds, like the Nimuka Yosef and the Rashba, that we pass in like both. Why do we pass in like both? Not Machlokes, that's how we pass in like both. So that's important. Now, the answer is, if there was no nafkamina la halacha, then if it was just a question of answering a kasha, there's a kasha, here's a teretz. So then, there's no nafkin il halach and having a second teretz. But these terutzim, they're terutzim to akasha, but they're more than that. They're also giving me dinim in particular cases. So Abaye tells me a din about one case, which is common. A Rebbe said, by the way, here's another case, which is far less common, but here's a din in the other case. So even if it's not common, it will come up. Plus, the Rajba had also perhaps been sensitive to your point, and the Rajba had said, as a matter of fact, this something will be relevant. It's not so uncommon that a Jew lives in a house for more than 3 years, but his neighbors either are not Jewish or have moved in the last 3 years, or he has no neighbors whatsoever. That's going to happen. Maybe not most of the time. Some of the time, it's not negligibly small. So again, you still have to have the sochrim with the pateh. They didn't pay their money. Okay. That, by the way, also just to point out that the teretz that Rav Ashi gave, you hope it's rare, but it's not a hypothetical. I was learning this Gemara just last night with Chavrusa, who's a lawyer. He said, "Oh, yeah, deadbeat tenants, right away. Most tenants do pay their debts, but unfortunately, there is a non-negligible myriad of people who try not to pay their debts. That happens. Plenty of a significant percentage of real estate law has to do with going after people who haven't paid rent. It happens. Unfortunately, it happens. Again, like I said before, sometimes it happens because nabuck people can't pay. Sometimes it happens because people unfortunately choose not to pay. But whatever it is, it's not a merely a hypothetical that the guy hasn't paid in 3 years. This stuff actually does happen. Yeah.
He didn't pay for 3 years,
and
he's asking
for it. Right. Doesn't mean that he didn't have to. It means Lamaisa, he's holding the rent. That, although I agree with you that another scenario for how this might happen, other than a deadbeat tenant who was supposed to have paid every month but didn't, or was supposed to have paid every year but didn't, another scenario is maybe this was a strategic move on the part of the landlord. In other words, maybe the deal had been that you're not going to pay me rent. You're going to pay me rent for the first 4 or 5 years. Will only be due at the end, because maybe the landlord just bought a property from a Marakama who he knows is a shady operator, and he's worried that the guy may try to pull a fast one, and he's going to come back and lie and claim that he never sold me the house. I know that he did, and I know that I'm not going to be living here. I'm going to be renting it out. So I'm going to have a problem with how am I going to have a cheskes habatim. So, and specifically, well, let me take that back. I know I'm going to have a problem with the cheskes habatim because of the Rashba's cases. Maybe there aren't neighbors who are kosher leidus, or there aren't neighbors nearby at all, or there's a very transient community, and I'm not convinced that any of these neighbors will be living here in 3 years from now. So I might, and I don't trust the Marakama, but I do trust my tenants. So I might strategically say to them, I would rather that you not pay me any rent for the first 4.5 years. And that way, you'll be kosher lahad. Maybe. Again, you have to be able to afford that. But the landlord has to be able to afford not taking rent for a couple of years. And he has to trust that his tenants are not going to fly the coop.
Would that qualify as... Firstly, wouldn't they then be getting the chazak on the house? And also, would that qualify as osikeros if you're not...
He's raising two excellent questions. Avidan, Avram Yitzhak, Dan, is raising two marvelous questions, both of which are coming up. His first question is coming up, Mitzvah Chavteso and Beis, which is a question of, one second, if Sochrim have been here for 3 years, so they have the Cheskazat, could they turn around and pull shtick and say that they have a Cheskazat? Okay? That's what we're going to get to in Chavteso and Beis and Mitzvah, with Shtaris and Itra and so forth. The second question that you raised, which is a very sharp question, and that brings us to the rest of the sugya. Because the second question that you raised is one second. If they haven't paid rent, which again, that's not me, that's the Gemara says that. I'm just giving an example where they might have, either they didn't pay rent because, they were supposed to, but they didn't for whatever reason, or conceivably, this was the original lease contract, was I'm leasing it to you for 10 years, but the first payment is going to be due in 5 years from now. But for whatever reason, they haven't paid rent yet. So Avidan raised the question, if they haven't paid rent yet, so then in what sense, not just that the Sochrim have been doing a Hishtamshus, and could they, if they're not honest, turn around and say, we have a Cheses Abatim. Now we'll get to Rishon Mechavtes and Beis. But forget, but even if they are honest, in what sense, so they're not going to try to pretend that they do have a Cheses Abatim. But in what sense does the Maskir have a Cheses Abatim, you're saying? It doesn't help. What, to me, if I'm collecting rent every month, so that's my Cheses Abatim. Every month I knock on the door, I collect a rent check. But if I'm not, I've had no interaction with these guys for 4 years. So how is that my cheskes habatim? So that's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. That really brings us to the balance of the sugya. Because in the kasha of Rav Yehma, the teretz of Rav Ashi, there are, as I mentioned earlier this morning, there are many, 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 many nekudos le'ion, a lot that the Rishonim raise, a lot that the Achronim raise. We're going to hopefully focus on three points. Your point is the third one. Your point is a point that the Rashba raises, he quotes B'Shem the Ravid, that where is the Achilles Peiris of the maskir, of the owner? He's not living there, he's not collecting rent. So what? That's the third point we're going to get to. The second point, is we'll work on the Rabbeinu Yonah has a lot to say in about the Nogin Be'edusan. We'll have to dig into that. In other words, your point is about the teretz of Rav Ashi. We'll get to that in Mitzshem. Where we're headed next, but not right now, let's just sketch out where we're headed next. Before we even get to Rav Ashi's teretz and the question of how does that teretz eliminates, Nikiti Agarbesa eliminates their Nagia of the Edim, it may also eliminate any Hishtamshus or Achilles Peiris on the part of the Maskir. So there may be LT made, but it sounds like it's going to be a useless Edus. We'll get to that. Before we get to that, we're going to want to deal with the Mitzvah tomorrow, the Hani Nogin Be'edusan. Is it really true that they are Nogin Be'edusan? Tosis raises a specific kasha. Ben Yonah really opens up a lot of angles in the Nogin Be'edusan, which we will, it's a very, very beautiful Richard Ben Yonah, where Mitzvah deal with tomorrow. He's going to get us thinking about the nature of the Chiyuv to pay rent. A lot going on.
I think this is like partly right.